reiterate the Curry Blake YouTube videos. There's 19 of them, and they're about 40, 45 minutes a piece. And I just encourage everyone to watch those. They're strictly about healing. And I know the first couple are introduction, and, you know, it's kind of slow moving, but just plow through that. But I definitely believe that if you listen to these, you know, at least two or three a week, I guarantee you it will change you as far as healing goes. It will increase your faith. It will increase, and if everybody, and this is the thing, Catherine Waller said this. She said, it's going to get to a point that it's going to be difficult to stay sick in this church. I like that. But this is what will help the atmosphere as far as if everybody is on the same page when it comes to healing. And I know that I was raised that, you know, it could be God's will for you to be sick. It could be God's will to take your kid. It could be God's will. And then when I started reading the Bible and finding out the true nature of God, that was all wrong. And religion can really make excuses for why things aren't happening. And that's exactly what a lot of people can do, is make excuses because it's not happening, therefore we have to come up with a reason. No, we're going to stick to the Word of God and not anybody's circumstances, not anybody's results. We're going to stick to what God says. Amen? Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says, I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance, for I am trained. Listen to this. I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things. How many things? God wants you to be trained in overcoming all things. Would that include sickness and poverty and lack? Come on now. Would it include those things? It says he wants you to know the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every single difficulty. So it doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. It just means that there's something inside of you called the power of God, called Jesus Christ, that will cause you to overcome it. Amen. I saw something yesterday. I don't even know if it's true or not, but I thought I'd share it. I think it'd inspire the young people. It's called the Rule of 100. Have you ever heard of that? The Rule of 100? It's 100 hours. If you train 100 hours a year in a certain discipline, whether it's the piano, karate, photography, you name it, and that comes out about 18 minutes a day. If you do that, you'll be better than 95% of the people that are in that field. It's just a thought. I thought the young people should hear that. And I'm glad the older people are here as well. But anyway, I thought that was good. Don't want to offend anybody. But if you stay here long enough, I probably will. But anyway, Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9. This ministered to me so well. Listen to this. This is a Passion Translation. I hear the Lord saying, listen, take this personally, that God is speaking this to you, all right? I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. You know, God, nobody likes change. Basically speaking, nobody likes change. And the thing is, to get to the next level or to take you to expand, to cause increase in your life, there has to come change. And God is saying that I want you to be successful. I want you to be happy. I want you fill in the blank. But you have to go along with him. You may go to some places that are uncomfortable for you. You know, I'm part of an organization called Wealth Builders, and I remember when they first asked me, this is years ago, to MC that event. I've never emceed. They said, do you want to emcee? And I went, what? What is that? You know, and so I literally had to watch YouTube videos to even know. And furthermore, I couldn't even spell it, But anyway, you think MC. That's not how it's spelled. But anyway, I started doing that, and I was a nervous wreck. People said, you get up in front of, I've preached in front of, in Africa, about a couple thousand people before. So to me, the more people I speak in front of, the easier it is. You get me in front of 12 people, and I get nervous. But if you get me in front of where there's more. But this event, it was, so people said, well, why are you so uptight about that? I said, that's not my comfort zone. It's not speaking, preaching, teaching. It's emceeing. I stayed up till midnight before the event and trying to just, Lord, you have to help me. And Lord, I need this and I need that. But this is the thing that I found out. You know, grace is available to help you in anything that you're doing in life. Are you hearing me? The grace of God is not just for church on Sunday morning. It helps you in the hospital room. It helps you when you're doing surgical tech stuff. She's been out of town for 9 months, so I had to say that. But anyway, grace is available to help you to love your spouse, to love people when they're a jerk. You are looking really holy today, man. I tell you what. Just keep looking forward. This is not the time to elbow your spouse. But anyway, grace is available to do and help you do anything and everything that you put your hand to in life. So today we're going to talk about, we won't talk about all of them today, but two of the four P's. There's four P's in a pod. The first two, passion and patience. Then there's peace and persistent. I've taught on this scripture many times, but man, I just love it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Everything we could ever need. How many things? How many things? Everything we could ever need for life and deposited, God has all his divine power. You know, you just have to stop there. I can barely get past that. Everything that you need in life has been deposited inside of you and me. And people say, well, if healing's inside of me, why aren't I seeing my body manifested in healing? If finances and the power to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8:18, the power to get wealth is inside of you, why aren't I seeing that? There's a lot of things that people aren't aware of that has been deposited. And let me just say this. You will never deplete or just say, okay, I've got it all now and I understand everything that's been deposited in me. You won't, because Jesus has been deposited inside of you. And he's eternal. There's no end to him. So the part about it's already been deposited in us, when I started getting a revelation of that, and it's not just knowledge. There's a lot of people that read that and just have knowledge of it, but it has to be a revelation. And by that, it means it becomes more real to you and you're fully persuaded. Abraham and Sarah had a baby when they became fully persuaded. They knew that it was the will of God for them to have a child. I mean, God himself came down and said, you're going to have a child. Sarah was backed in the back. Yeah. I'm an old woman. There's no way. And Abraham goes, I'm a pretty old man, And God said, yep, you're going to have a child. It took 10 years. It didn't take God 10 years. It took Abraham and Sarah, even though the ability God placed within them to have a child, it took them 10 years to renew their mind, to become doubtful, and I can't believe that, to fully persuaded, and it's going to happen. That's the way it is with you and me. We get knowledge that by his stripes we are healed. We get knowledge that my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory. We get knowledge that he's made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We get knowledge that whatever I set my hand to shall surely prosper. But it's got to go from knowledge to being fully persuaded. You know, come, I don't care what happens, it is a done deal. You got to become fully persuaded. And then when that happens, it doesn't matter. You say, well, I've been waiting. No, you're not fully persuaded. If that's your mentality, I'm just waiting on God. No, you're not. Everything's been deposited inside of you. How many things? Every single thing that you need in this life. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. So people say, well, you know, people say God is good, but I just don't know. Well, then you're not fully persuaded what the word of God says about you concerning you. Verse 4, as a result of this, as a result of knowing him, knowing that everything's been deposited inside of you, knowing him, the manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. The divine nature of God? You mean, I've been partners with people in doing certain things. I mean, it's good to be partners. But sometimes being a partner means that maybe you have to do more work than them. This partnership means that you have not done any work and you cannot do any work to make this happen except believe. Except believe. You can't work for it. You can't clean enough toilets to make it happen. You can't just, take enough food to the next door neighbor. You can't just do any of that. All those things are good, and God wants you to do those things, by the way. Toilets do get dirty. He wants you to do those things, but not to see the manifestation of his goodness and his promises come to pass in your life. That has nothing to do with those things. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. That is just so good. If you go on to verse 8, I didn't give this to him, but if you read in the New King James, I believe it, and also the King James, it says, for if these things are yours. But the Passion Translation says, since these virtues are already planted deep within you. Listen to me. I believe you have to have faith that these things are in you. So if it says, for if these things, it means, do you really believe? Do you believe that these things are in you? Did you know, to me, I think it's half the battle when it comes believing God for a manifestation of healing. Half the battle is the ability of God for healing is inside of you. That's half of it. When I was 21 years old, I found out for the first time it was the will of God for everybody to be healed. 21. I was in the Air Force. I came home. My brother-in-law took me to a church, and I saw miracles. I never seen a miracle in my whole entire life. I thought they passed away. That's what I was taught them. And they preached to me, miracle devil. Man, he's sneaky. But God is even sneakier than the devil. What the enemy meant for destruction, God will turn that around. And he'll cause it to come to good for your life. But this is what you need to know. You need to know so many things today. I need to know so many things today. But God wants us to know that just because you do, when you start hearing that and you start seeing a manifestation of his glory and goodness, it starts causing you to have hope that this is true for every single believer, and it's not based upon my actions, my doing, it's based upon what Jesus has done for us. You've heard me say that 5,000 times. And eventually, It will come from your head to your soul, to your mind, your will, and your emotions. But there's gauges that we need to check. Your passion gauge. Your passion tells me how I feel. Romans 12:11 says that, you know, that we should be serving God with fervency. My patience tells me how I act. In James, it talks about patience having its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My peace tells me how I think. In Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, surpasses your understanding, surpasses it. It will guard your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. And my persistence tells me how I grow. Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which ensnare us. And it goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So take your temperature regularly. Your passion. Watch for symptoms of a passion deficiency. Are you ready for these? These are slap you upside the head good. If you're deficient in passion, you may be blaming others for your unhappiness. That's really good. Thank you. Blaming others for your unhappiness. The feeling that something is missing. Depression and anger. The idea that something is out of sync. I hear people say that. Man, it just feels like something's out of sync. It is. Doubting your abilities and giftings and talents that God has placed inside of you. You may be lacking passion if these things are happening to you. You know, and man, if there's ever been a time in our planet for everybody's blaming everybody for, you know, what their situation is. You blame everything from the government to this organization to you blame everything. Look for these signs of passion. These are the good things. You reach for something bigger than you. You reach for something bigger than you. You risk more than is reasonable. We're not talking about going to Las Vegas, just so you don't get stupid on me. All right? You risk more than is reasonable. And you live without an exit strategy. You go, wait, what? You know, I teach real estate, and we teach that you should have an exit strategy. But when it comes to life and passion, you live without an exit strategy. What does that mean? Cortez, when he came to the New World, I think it was in the 1500s in Mexico, him and 600 guys, they were starting to grumble and complain and wanted to go back home, and nothing's working out right. You know what Cortez did? He started living without an exit strategy. He burned the ship. It's a long way from Mexico to Spain to try to swim that. Burn the ships. Man, could you imagine those 600 guys going, what? I'm sure he probably snuck at nighttime, you know, put some kind of flammable material and lit a match and lit them all, man. The time they woke up, they saw flames and smoke, and they heard Johnny Cash up on the hill singing, it burns, burns, burns. I mean, can you believe? That's where country music started back in 1519. You just thought it was recently. Can you imagine? This was your way back home to Spain. That's called living life without an exit strategy. We're going to make this work, guys. You understand? You know, they all agreed to that when they left Spain. But then when they got to Mexico, they go, no, no. This is not. Cortez says, I got this. Got a solution. What is it? We'll talk about it tomorrow morning. Get a good night's sleep. Man, could you imagine? I think that's great. They could have killed him, but anyway, I thought that was great. That's living life with such a strong passion that you believe in it no matter what. You don't care what anybody's saying. You believe in it no matter what. We need to get that passionate about the things of God, about life itself. Are you happy about your life? No, I'm just not happy in life. Life is... God paid such a huge price for you to have life. I've told this story. You remember that story of this single mom struggling financially? Her husband left years ago, and she was raising her child all by herself, just on minimum wage, just struggling, doing her best and to take her little child to Disney World. She sacrificed so much. The child was ecstatic, you know, she just wanted to ride on the rides, see all the cool things. And so she got there, and her little, you know, 12-year-old daughter, 10-year-old, I don't know how old she was, but she was just waiting in lines, and it was hot, and she was hungry, and so she just started whining in the morning. She started whining at lunchtime. She started whining in the afternoon. She was whining and crying. Her mom finally looked at her and said, "You listen to me. I have sacrificed for years so that you are going to, so that you could enjoy and have fun. Listen to me. You're going to have fun and enjoy this trip. You understand me? You're going to like it." I think God's up in heaven with the same kind of attitude. "I gave you my son. He poured out his blood, who gave everything, who sacrificed shame upon the cross and took all the sin of the world, all of the curse of the world, and he did it all so that you can enjoy life. Now you straighten up and you start enjoying life right now." That's Mike Davis 101 interpretation. John 10:10 says that. Can you pull that up in Amplified? I mean, this is not my opinion. This is John 10:10. Jesus, you know, gave it all. Not just so you could go to, if Jesus just did all that for us to go to heaven, as soon as you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you would Star Trek right out of here. This is what it says. "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have," and what's that next word? What is that word? What is that word? So that you can enjoy life and have it in, well, you know, God's a little stingy, so just, no, so that you can have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Why does God want it to overflow? So it affects everybody around you. There comes a time when you can preach the gospel and try to shove the gospel down people's throat and they will rebel and not want to be around you. But you can have the abundance of life to the full, to your overflowing with the goodness of God. People want to know what you got. What do you have that makes you happy when you just lost your job? What do you have that you were just, your car was totaled? And, you know, and all these things are happening. But there's something that I see that you've got that I am missing in my life. Sit down. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Amen. It's better than telling people, you know, God wants you sick, broke, and barely getting along. That's going to be a short line. "Hey, come and meet my Jesus. He may want you sick and he wants you broke. He doesn't want you to have any money and he may take your daughter, but come and serve him." Jesus, help us all. That was sarcasm for those who have never heard me speak, okay? Passion, fire, desire, emotion, excitement. Passion means an emotional response that compels action. In other words, you can't be passionate about something and just be sitting all the time and go, and nobody knows. Passion will turn your crank. Do you know what I mean by that? We can say that in Kentucky. Can you say that in Colorado? Do you understand what that means? Okay, just checking. Life wants to limit your potential and just kill your passion. There's things that the devil will try to make happen to just kill your passion. But this is the thing, you just don't quit. You just don't quit. Watch for people who feel it's their job and their calling to put out your fire. Oh, they go to church. But be an encourager. There's a young lady on our team at Wealth Builders. Her name's Karen Conrad. And man, there's been times in my life that I just think, oh, wow, man, I just feel like I'm not hitting on 8 cylinders, and I feel like the engine was taken out. An electric motor wasn't put in. Now I'm Flintstones and just running. You young people have never watched Flintstones. They didn't have electric cars. They just had foot power. But anyway, YouTube it. You'll find out what it is. But that's what I kind of felt like sometimes. And she would come along and she would just say something to me that would just make me feel like, you're the smartest person, you're this and you're that and you're that. And I go, what? You need people like that in your life. If you don't, you can pray them in. Some of you need it. I can tell when you come to church on Sunday morning. You need somebody to encourage you. You need somebody to encourage you. Have somebody, and listen, it would be a good idea for you to sow that as well. You encourage people. Encourage them. Oh, man, I just don't know. I've just been, you know, I'm really messed up, and I did this, and I did that. Be an encourager. Don't go, yeah, you're going to hell, buddy. You know, don't be like that. Just say, man, God loves you. He's going to pick you up. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Listen to me. You can get knocked down 7 times and keep knocking down, but God will keep picking you up. He's a picker-upper. So be that kind of person, all right? Be an encourager. Passion is up close and it's personal. In Luke chapter 24, I didn't tell them to turn there. I just want to read it real quick. I'm running out of time. And they said to one another, after Jesus was resurrected, he was walking down the street with a couple of believers, opened up the scriptures to us. Not our heart burned. A passion was stirring, coming out of Jesus, and it was going into these two guys. Jesus said, well, what's going on? Have you been dead or something? Haven't you heard the person who claimed to be the Messiah died and was buried and all that? So he started talking to them about the word of God, and that passion came out of Jesus, and it started catching fire to those two guys walking down the road. And they said, didn't it burn within us? Psalms 39 says, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. I tell you what, you get on fire, you know, and it'll come out. Plus, if something's on fire, people are attracted. You know, it's kind of sad. Oh, there's a house burning down there. Everybody wants to come and see. Wow, yeah, it's on fire. It's burning. Go tell your dad to come in here. He needs to see this. The presence of God creates a fire for God. Listen to this. Don't let the knowledge of God be a substitute for the fire of God. Don't just, people are filled with churches all around the world this Sunday morning, hearing about knowledge of God and knowledge of who he is, and which is good. But that knowledge is not going to help you a lot of times through the tough times. You go, what do you mean by that? It has to be knowledge that becomes a fully persuasion to you. You believe God wants you well, and if you start getting some kind of weird symptom or whatever, you go, You go, Lord, I just believe for this to be healed in Jesus' name. Nothing happens. You speak to it again. You have to be fully, listen to me. I'm not telling anybody to stay home if your heart's hurting or whatever. So don't get stupid on me. But this is what I am saying. If you're fully persuaded about something, it will come to pass. I don't care what kind of symptom it is. And you alone are the only one that will know if you're fully persuaded. I can hear the words come out of your mouth. But it has to be a heart and soul issue if you're fully persuaded. A lot of Christians know what to say, especially around the preacher. They know what to say. But he wants to hear this. But just because I hear it doesn't mean it's so for you. It has to be in your foundation no matter what. The tornado's coming, but we're standing. Watch out for these restrictions of passion. Let me name these three. Fear, it will cause you not to even try. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Doubt will cause you not to even try to act on what you're wanting for that passion to be. Well, maybe it's not God. Maybe. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? When you pray. When you what? When you pray. Most of us pray and go, okay, let's see what's going to happen. No, you missed it. You missed it. When you pray, you believe that I've got it now, but I don't see anything. You got to be like Elijah. Send out his servant. Check and see. He says, I'm going to pray and it's going to rain. It's going to rain. God's going to send the rain. He went out, not a cloud in the sky. He told his servant, go and check. He says, well, there's nothing there. Just believe in God. He's pressing in. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Go check. Nothing. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe in God. I'm believing God. Go check. Nothing. Okay, it must not be the will of God. No, 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 no. All right. Thank you, Father, that the rain is coming. I just thank you that the clouds are coming in. The rain is going to be poured out upon this city in Jesus' name. Go check again. Well, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I don't know about you, but would you get excited if there was just a cloud that... Now, you may think, now, it must have been, you know, when he put his hand up, there was a cloud that size, which meant it was a decent size. But even then, would you think, I mean, we live in Pueblo, the land where it rains every other day now, but it but before this, if you're new to Pueblo, I mean, we don't get rain like this. This is why Jesus is coming soon, by the way, because, I mean, it's unreal, the rain we've been getting. I mean, people are starting to build boats in the backyard. But anyway, we've been getting a lot of rain. But before that, if there's just that one cloud and, our rain, I'm in Pueblo West, so the rains usually come from the north and northwest. That's 90% of the rains come from that way. But if there's just one cloud coming over the mountain and it's the size of a man's hand, I'm not going to say, honey, let's not go on the picnic. It's going to rain today. No! Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to do that. You know, you look at one cloud. I mean, usually it's super cloudy and it doesn't rain in Pueblo. I mean, black, and it doesn't rain. People say, it's going to rain. Nah, it'll blow over. But it's not this time, season, whatever. But, this is Elijah. He says, what did you say? There's a cloud the size of a man's hand. He told the king, get yourself in the chariot and get out of here. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. What was he doing? He knew that he knew that he knew. God answered the prayer. Well, there's not even a bunch of clouds. There's no black clouds. It's just one little cloud. But there's something that sparked inside. There was a belief inside of him. There was a faith drops of him. He didn't know. Didn't look like rain. Just a cloud the size of a man's hand. Everybody, let's run because it's going to be pouring. I'm sure his servant said, okay. Can you imagine? And what happened? There was a flood waters. It was a gully washer. You heard that term? Gully washer. By gully, it was a washer. Anyway, okay, it's past my time. I didn't get, that was not even one. That's a good introduction to the four P's. All right. You have to come back to... Here are the other P's. Oh, Jesus, help me. But anyway, passion. If you want to know what you're supposed to do in life, what kind of passion do you have? And if you don't feel like you have any passion, you need to start talking to God. God, you put me on this planet. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It can be something outside the box. You think, well, nobody, I don't hear anybody doing that. You know, when my mom got up in age and she just started praying for people. She became a prayer warrior. Everybody in her church would call her. She'd get phone calls. She was on the phone all the time. This is before cell phones. She passed away in 1999. But people would say, Louise, will you pray for me of this? Man, results started happening. This was before, the day of prayer call centers. Now, big ministries have call centers. My mom was a one-man team in her house and being a prayer call center. That was something that was big to her. and it was a blessing to others. My point is this. You need to think outside the box. How can you use me? What do you want me to do in this life? And I'm just saying, it may not be spiritual as far as you're concerned. God wants to work in the marketplace. Are you hearing me? God wants to work in businesses. He's concerned about every business on this planet. And so he may have a passion for you. Look at Elon Musk. I mean, I look at him and I go, wow, man, it seems like you're wasting a lot of money building a rocket to go to Mars. Really? You want to send people to Mars? Let's see how long that line is. But anyway, but my point is this. He has a passion for that. So nobody's going to be able to stop him to do that. And guess what? I think it's a cool idea. I'm not going to sign up for it, but I think it's a cool idea. I do. You may think, well, it's just stupid. You know what? This is the thing. People have thought things are stupid, and they became very successful in their stupidity. And they were a blessing. God wants to use you to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing. You will get blessed out of it, but the bigger picture of the 30,000 view is that God will use you in your workplace, in your market. Very few people are called to do this. Very, very few people. The majority of the callings and the giftings of God are in the workforce, in the business place. And he wants to use you, bless you, calls you to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are causing us to be stirred up. Thank you, Father, that you're speaking to people. I believe, as we read in Psalms 32, Father, just let that be tattooed on people's hearts, that you are with them and that you're going to lead them in their business, lead them in their future, what they should do, what they are called to do. May people have the peace of God that surpasses their understanding, that they will know that, you know what? I think we're supposed to do this. It's just a drawing inside of me. And Father, when they make that choice and that decision, may the passion of Almighty God flow out of them like a raging river. Like a raging river. May passion flow out of them. And then may they enjoy the life that you've called them to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.